Greetings in Jesus' name and welcome to everyone here today. See, we have some visitors here yet from the school program yesterday, and it was a treat again to hear those songs this morning. River of life, you know, that river of life can start already when you're small. And the Bible talks about, Jesus talks about rivers that are going to flow from the innermost being of those who are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, that out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. I think he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit and joy. And, well, love, you sang about love. That's one of those rivers. And so it's very appropriate. I was blessed by the singing again. And today is Mother's Day, and we've heard about that already, and it's appropriate, I think, that we give a special tribute to mothers today. I'd like to talk about Samuel's mother. All of you could probably say her name. Samuel's mother, and let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2, and we'll take the thoughts from that scripture this morning. I'm always glad when I get to 1 and 2 Samuel in my Bible reading, when I'm reading through the Bible. We come out of the book of Judges, and there's a lot of, just a lot of sad things happen there. But we come here into 1 and 2 Samuel, and we have just a rich resource for lots of stories that we enjoy, and even more important, a source of many lessons that can be directly applied to children, youth, adults. We think of the little boy Samuel, you know, saying, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." How many times have children heard those stories and been encouraged and blessed by them? And we have the story of David and Goliath, a youth who slew the giant, and then we have other stories as well, stories of Samuel himself and Saul and David, and we can take lots of lessons from them. But here in the beginning, in chapter 1, we read about Samuel's mother. And Samuel's mother was... She could not have children, and of course, her husband Elkanah had two wives. The one was Peninnah; she had children, but Hannah did not have children, and it was a grief to her. We read about that there in those first few verses. Maybe we should just start in verse 10 and read a ways here. First 10 Samuel chapter 1 verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Like many of us, most of us probably, if not all of us, we face situations in life that we might could describe as bitterness of soul because of what life has handed to us. And we tend to ask the question, you know, why me? Or why this? Or why doesn't God see my distress and deliver me? Where is God in these things? You know, life is not fair. We heard about that a couple of weeks ago, and life hadn't been fair to Hannah. There were daily reminders of her affliction there in verse 14. It says, and Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken and put away thy wine from thee? And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. In verse 10, it says, she was in bitterness of soul. She was sorrowful. She was distressed. In her bitterness of souls, Hannah did the right thing. Really, the only thing that she could do under these circumstances, other than just accept her lot and continue to be bitter. But she brought it to God. She brought her bitterness of soul, her distress, she brought it to God and gave it to him. As we look at the life of Hannah and her family, you know, year after year, they came there to Shiloh, to the tabernacle, to sacrifice. And festival, the Jewish festivals, many of them were actually, their feast days were actually like festivals, like we had yesterday, a school picnic. You know, there were just, think of Jesus and his family. There they were 3 days traveling to Jerusalem. I think that was at the Passover. And there were children everywhere. There were uncles and aunts and cousins, and they were having a good time. They were enjoying themselves. It was a festival. And so it was in the days of Hannah and her family. Here they go again to Shiloh. And this is now a time of happiness and joy and children everywhere and uncles and aunts and cousins. And they're just enjoying this time together as they go to Shiloh for the feast. That is everyone but Hannah. There were all these children, and she didn't have any. She couldn't have any. And it only added to her distress. And as she was there at Shiloh and she saw the things that were going on, it kind of brought her to the apex or the peak of her distress. And she just went to the Lord there. And the Bible tells us there that she was praying in front of the tabernacle. And Eli thought she was drunk because her lips were moving, but no words were coming out. And, you know, we've probably all been in places like that before, where we were in such a agony of spirit that there were really no words to convey our thoughts. But the Spirit himself takes those thoughts and conveys them to the Lord. And so there she was. And there in verse 11, it says that she prayed there and she made this vow that she was going to give this child back to God again. When we get to those places, you know, and we all get there, some to one degree and some to another, we long for answers. We want God to perform a miracle. We want him to do something for us. We all like stories that end in that they lived happily ever after, don't we? Well, in this case, the case of Hannah, it kind of turned out that way. But she didn't know it at the time. When she cried out to God in her distress, she didn't know what the end was going to be. She didn't know if God was going to give her a child or not. He ended up giving her 6. But she didn't know that at that time. She was in distress. And it reminds me of some of the things that we've experienced in our own life. You know, when you're in it, you can take it to God. You don't know how God's going to deal with it, how he's going to answer, how he's going to respond. But after we have walked the road and we've walked with God long enough, we know that we can trust him. because he does work things out. Maybe not in the same sense he did with Hannah, where we can say she lived happily ever after, but at least he gives us the grace and the strength. I know when our first child was born with many health issues, and she was born Downs, and she has had heart problems. And in the first 5 years of her life, she was in the hospital many times. The first 3 years, I think she was in the hospital 10 times with pneumonia and other health complications. And we saw her go through much suffering. And you know, there were times when we asked God, you know, why did you give her to us in this way? And why does she need to suffer when we would have gladly borne it for her, a small innocent child? We didn't understand all those things. But, you know, now, looking back with hindsight, you know, we can now see what God had in mind for us and the blessings that we received. And we consider her a gift that God gave to us for 41 years. But we couldn't see that, you know, when we were right in the middle of it. It's, you know, we were saying, God, where are you? And why us? Why her? And those kind of things. Well, that's where Hannah found herself. Her whole outlook in life was colored by the fact that she was childless. And the Bible says she was bitter. She wept. She wept often. She would not eat. She was downhearted. She was distressed. And in her prayer to God, Hannah spoke of her condition as affliction. She was miserable. And so much so that she was really not even able to enjoy the good things that God was giving her. And maybe she didn't even see them. She didn't recognize them. She, Elkanah obviously loved her. And he was trying to console her and encouraging her to eat. So he was a man who was sympathetic. But she was somehow not able to find comfort in that. And finally, in her bitterness, Hannah took two vital steps. First, she took her bitterness to God. And second, in prayer, she began to reorder her priorities. It was all about me. I want a son. And I want it because I don't want to be childless. I want to be like other women. And I want a family. I want a son for my own, just to meet my own need. And when she reordered her priorities, that was no longer her prayer. She said, Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And we know the story. There, Hannah made a commitment to dedicate the son she prayed for to the Lord. And she no longer wanted him for herself. And through this, you know, what a blessing Samuel became to the entire nation of Israel and many individuals in his life that his life touched. Everyone loved Samuel. Everyone wanted to be with Samuel. Everyone wanted Samuel's blessing on them. Samuel was a man of God. He influenced the people in his day tremendously. And he continues to influence us today as well. Just his story is a story of inspiration. Hannah's prayer was a desperate one, so heartfelt that her lips moved even though she was praying in her heart. After that prayer, and after the assurance that God gave her, she was able to relax and to exercise her faith and confidence in God. And we read there then that she ate and her face was no longer sad, just on the basis of the promise that she had received. And Hannah's prayer was granted, and she gave birth to one of the most significant characters in the Bible. And when we read the prayer of Hannah, or the praise song of Hannah there in chapter 2, it is one of the most beautiful scriptures that we have in the Bible. It is a song of just pure joy. And a number of things that come out in that, and I won't take time to read it, is that it shows a deep awareness of who God is. Hannah acknowledged God as holy, as one who knows and weighs human deeds. Hannah saw him as one who satisfies the needy, who is the master of life and death, of poverty and wealth. Her sense of the power and glory of God is summed up beautifully in these three verses here in 1 Samuel 2, verse 8, where she says, "He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall be thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." What a tremendous reorientation. This same Hannah, who was so bitter and downcast that she could not even sense God's grace, now saw the Lord clearly through the fulfillment of his promise, and she was able to praise the Lord in a situation that where she actually gave up her child in one sense, and this very child that she had prayed for. What was so different? Hannah now was able to look beyond herself and her own needs. She could sense God's love and trust him. And she could sense the future that God had for this first child she so deeply loved. Because Hannah truly had given her son to the Lord, she trusted God to care for him and to give him a fulfilling life. And so, every mother can be a Hannah. Every mother can give her child to the Lord. And the story of Hannah and Elkanah concludes with a single paragraph, and that is that each year the two returned to the tabernacle to worship, bringing Samuel's new clothes. But they did not come alone. God had given them 5 more children, 3 sons and 2 daughters. What a wonderful reminder. It is impossible for us to limit God. God is not to be limited. As for Samuel, the Bible says that the boy ministered before the Lord daily in the tabernacle. And what greater joy than to see our children do the same. Often, thanks in a great part to their godly mother. Shall we kneel to pray?